You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, welcome to Declaration Sunday. Yeah! So good. I'm really excited about what God has placed on our heart for our church for this, not just for this year, but we're actually starting to talk about this decade. And not to overwhelm you, but when I say this decade, we're looking at planning milestones throughout our decade, this coming decade, because we truly believe that the things that our young people were going to have to do in the future, we're going to take care of those in this season, so that when our young people are actually stepping up in church life, they're actually pulling down new things from heaven to earth. Amen? Yeah. That's the type of faith that we're believing for in this season. Now, for the last 5 years, we've specifically called this day Vision Sunday, but we decided that we were going to change the name. Who loves change? Yes. Some people are saying yes and putting their hands up. It's like, let's see if that's actually true. So the reason for the change in language, and some of you may have read this already, but I wanted to verbalize it to everybody who's here now and everyone who's watching online. Welcome if you're watching online this morning, and everybody who watches this at a later time. You know, the main reason for the change of name is I believe that God is continually refining who we are as a church, but also who we are as individuals as well. And I think because of this, we need to be ready to move with change, ready to move with where God's leading us so that we can truly grow. It's actually imperative that we be open to change so that God can grow us as individuals. If God speaks to us, but we resist change, we stay exactly where we are, having the promise, but never walking in it. Amen? And so we are open to change, open to what God wants to speak to us about, because we want to grow into everything that he has for us, not just in this season, but in the seasons to come as well. What we're doing right now is paving the way for the future generations to actually be open to change and not be change resistant. Amen? God is a good God. And so this is my last thing to seal off the change thing. Change is good when change is from God. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen? A little bit hard to deny that one, isn't it? So I want to start with this passage of scripture this morning, Job 22, verse 28. And this is God speaking to every single one of us through his word. It's what it says. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. I want to encourage you with what we're about to dive into this morning, this year, and this decade. As you learn to change your language, as you learn to see things as God sees things, as you learn to say things as God says things, watch what happens. All of your ways will have God shining upon them. Amen? Amen. Amen. I truly believe it. As a church, we have a very, very clear mission, very, very clear vision, very, very clear values. And aren't you grateful and thankful to God that they're Bible-based and Christ-centered? Yeah. I know that I am. Yeah. So I believe that God is calling us through his word, specifically in this season that we're entering into, to decide, decree and declare what his word says. Amen. Yeah. Not just this year, but every day of our lives, every year of our lives, declaring God's word over our lives. You know, that word declare. Has anyone ever sort of like done a bit of research into that word declare? I know that I hadn't. Pastor Phil probably has. Probably done at least like 40 years of it. See, in the Hebrew, that word declare means to make known, to speak, to hear, to listen, to give evidence, to propose, reveal, give birth, be born. It is not just about saying something. It's about hearing, seeing, listening, giving birth to what God actually wants to give birth out of your mouth. Amen? In the Greek, it means to proclaim, tell in detail, announce, tell, disclose, make clear, interpret, proclaim good news. For example, Psalm 22, verse 22. It says this, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. It's a declaration, a decision to declare who God is, who he is to me personally, who he is to us as a congregation. I want to encourage you with the words that come out of your mouth, particularly after hearing this morning. Let's be really thoughtful about the words that come out of our mouth. Is it affirming? Is it uplifting? Is it proclaiming? Or is it pulling down and bringing people down to how you feel on the inside? No, let's allow God to minister to our hearts. And the words that come out of our mouth as we lift others up will also lift us as well. It's a practice for each and every single one of us. You know, in your booklet, if you didn't get one of these booklets this morning, can I encourage you, grab one on the way out. We've got plenty, 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 plenty. Specifically on the front page is our declaration scripture, but it's for you to take home and keep somewhere where you can go back to it. It's got our mission in there, our heart, our vision, and our values on the back as well. You know, our mission, we exist to care for our community and connect every individual and their families to God, to see them loved, reached, included, and restored. It's just the heart of Jesus, amen? It's the commission that God gave us. Go. Go and see people saved. Go and see people discipled. Go and see people learn my ways. And then secondly, that our heart, that all would have the opportunity for relationship with God and know God's grace to all. We just want to open up the doors of heaven to each and every single person who comes, not just into this place, but into your life throughout the week. Amen? That's our heart. You know, for some of you, you've heard this lots of times before, but there's people who have joined us over the past year who haven't heard this before. And I want to make sure that our heart as a church just begins to become your heartbeat as well. You know, we talk about our vision. You know, I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, and they reminded me that the walk of a disciple who follows Jesus must be a thoughtful one. We don't just do it mindlessly. It's a thoughtful practice of following Jesus, meaning that you find yourself being thoughtful and purposefully worshiping God. When you come to church on a Sunday, we don't just come in, we're just like, eh. And maybe sometimes, maybe I've done that once or twice, but learning to be more thoughtful, learning to be more purposeful about when I come to the house of God, I'm coming to bring my worship. I'm coming to declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord of all. I'm coming to declare with my mouth that anybody who would hear the name of Jesus has the opportunity to find hope and salvation. I'm declaring that this week, Lord, it was a challenging one, but you still reign, amen. Thoughtfully coming, purposefully coming to worship the Lord. Thoughtfully reading the word. Thoughtfully reading that your creator identity is in Jesus. You know, we approach our vision as a church. I want to encourage you around this. This may be the first time you've ever heard this before. I think sometimes when we read things, we read it on behalf of others. So we read the vision. That'd be really, really good for that person. That person definitely needs that vision in their life. Don't name names. Don't nudge anyone next to you. I want to encourage us to nudge ourselves. Nudge ourselves to be more thoughtful. Nudge ourselves to be more purposeful in the way we apply the vision. So when we approach the vision, we don't read it on behalf of somebody else. We read it thoughtfully and purposefully, and we believe that it's this vision, this God, this Jesus who is transforming us. And we need to learn to believe that God will do this in ourselves and every other person in our city and beyond. Amen. See, when we, you know, I don't think I've got any vision things in the computer, do I? So in your booklet, we go to the first page, second page. It says, we see a church where all can come into relationship with God and follow Jesus. See, we see a church means that we are a church. We are his church. We're joining him in his commission. I want to encourage you thoughtfully, see yourself as his church. See yourself as this church. You're not, it's not a hope. So I read this out, I hope this could be true for me. I hope this could be. No, no, we are a church. You are the church. And so when we read it, we're reading it for ourselves in deep thoughts, deep revelation, deeper into the Spirit, and we're believing that all of these things are coming to pass in our lives. Can I encourage you? You might go, I've got it, I've got it, I'm right with you. Can I encourage you? Go further. Go further than generations before you've gone. Go further than you've gone before. Continue to see the outwork until your last breath. Amen. Because if you do that, you create a pathway for generations that come after. They see how far you go. They see that you don't just go, yeah, I've got it. I'm going to stop here. Everything's good. I'm just going to wait until. No. No, they want to see you going all the way, hard and solid to the end. Amen. I want to see that for my kids. I want to see that for me. I want to see that for you. Amen. God is a good God. Let's jump forward to our values. I want to make sure I've got enough time this morning for everything that's happening. You know, one of our main values, the one that sort of heads them all is, we value what he values. Within this house, within this culture, we value all, love all, and believe that it is only as all that we truly reflect the image, identity, and character of our Creator. I want to encourage you. All of our values are super important. But this one here, this tells us where our identity comes from. Yeah. It comes from Jesus. It comes from our Creator. And then when we slip into the other values, if we've got the first one outworking in our lives, all the other things naturally, it's like, love God, love others, amen? The same way that you've been loved is the same way that you love others. You know, our other values, they're people and community. We love who God loves, and we value being connected in community. We value health. We pursue spiritual, emotional, and physical health. You know, maybe I'm reading this, some of these things, and you're, oh, I could do that better. You know, it's okay. Don't be judgmental on yourself. Don't carry any shame around this. This is what God wants to do inside of you as you pursue him as a disciple. Amen? Amen. We value faith. We have big faith that believes what he says and activates what he's saying. We value creativity. We utilize every ounce of our God-given mind, being strategic and deliberate and creative and spontaneous in sharing Jesus. We value generosity in every area of our lives with our time, talent, and tithe. And in our stewardship, we are outrageous and extravagant in love and generosity. It's a heart condition. We value discipleship. Who values discipleship? I want to encourage you, if discipleship hasn't been a value in your life, I really want to encourage you around this. That the commission that Jesus gave us, one of the key things that he gives us is to be disciples and be made as disciples. Amen. I want to encourage you. It's his heart for us. It's one of the very, very few things that he asked us to actually do, to be disciples and make disciples. Amen. And so maybe in the past you'd be like, oh, that's just for leaders. No, 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 no. No, let me dispel that myth. In fact, if it was a football, I'd kick it straight out the door right now. It's a myth. It's a lie. It's not truth. Discipleship is not for leaders. Discipleship is for followers of Jesus. It's for each and every single one of us to pursue the kingdom and everything that Jesus has for us. So if that sparked your attention, one Sunday on every night of the, is it week four? Week four. We've moved all the weeks around. Week four, we have discipleship here at the church, 5 p.m. on a Sunday night, on the fourth week of every single month. Can I encourage you? Come. If you want to be activated as a disciple, come. We will speak things into your life. And at the beginning, you'll be like, whoa, I haven't heard this before. Yet it's calling you up in that discipleship journey of following Jesus ahead. Amen. It's for each and every single one of you. It's not for leaders. It's not for people who carry a title. It's for disciples of Jesus. I've labeled on it enough. Amen. We're building Christ-centered people in his image and name. We are those he has called as living stones to build his kingdom and through us. people and all forms of culture are renewed and rebuilt. Why? Because we're following Jesus as disciples. And the last thing, but definitely not the least, the last thing, because it's probably one of the most important, we value family. Family is a gift from God. We value strong family relationships in every area of our lives. Can I encourage you, if your outside family is just a little bit broken or shattered or dysfunctional or is just not where you would want it to be, can I encourage you, start your family journey here. Let function become into your understanding of family here, and then let it pour out over your outside family so that you can bring healthy function to your family outside. Amen? It's a good thing. Sometimes we kind of reject family because we're like, my family didn't do it well. I don't know how to do it. I feel awkward in family. I say weird things when I'm in family because I just don't know how family is meant to work. It's okay. There is a grace space for that to happen here. In fact, I want to encourage you that rather than leaving it feeling awkward, if you're talking to me, I'll actually take the time with you to actually process the awkward thing that you may have said. Isn't that the wonderful thing about discipleship? It makes space for you not to be left in the, I'm not going to speak to Pastor Lee ever again because that was weird. Don't worry, I'm not going to leave it in weirdness. I'll actually help you to process through it. For the last time this morning, I have to read this out again because what I'm about to share with you is going to need you to have this value beginning operating in your life right now. We value faith. Faith. We have big faith that believes what he says and activates what he's saying. Let me say it one more time because I really need you to actually have that to begin working right now, because I'm going to share some things and you're going to be like, whoa, settle down. No, we've got big faith, amen? Amen. We have big faith that believes what he says and activates what he's saying. Amen. Now, the reason I'm talking about faith this morning is because before I share our declaration scripture, because this scripture, this declaration, this proclamation, this declaration of God's truth and his word, let me be clear this morning, it's completely outrageous. It's outrageous. It's God's word. But to us, we read it, it's like, that's outrageous. That is like, that's huge. And so this morning, it's a call for each and every single one of us in this room, watching online or watching at a later time. This is a call for each and every single one of us to faith. It's a call for each and every single one of us to believe that we are here in this time for his purpose. We are here in this time, in this city, for a purpose, for his purpose. We're going to see big things happen within our church community, within our greater community, within our city and beyond. Amen. Amen. I believe that we are called to see dramatic shifts in our city's culture. I truly believe it. I truly believe it. To see dramatic shifts in our church, outrageous growth in our church. It's a call to declare, to activate and believe that you are part of the shift. You're not on the outside of it. You're not running along trying to get into the car door as the cars are. No. You are part of it right now. You may see yourself on the outer, but you are not. You are part of the bride of Christ. You are the church. You may feel on the outside of it, but I tell you and I declare over your life this morning, you could be no more part of the bride of Christ than you are right now. You are at the very, very center of the bride of Christ this morning. Called to be part of the shift. We are part of the shift. Amen? Notice the words I'm using this morning. We are part of the shift. No, not we could be, not you could be. We are part of the shift this morning. So our declaration scripture this morning, out of Ephesians 3 verse 20, for each and every single one of us. Let's grab hold of this morning. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. It's outrageous. Because in the natural, sometimes we read that scripture and it's like, yeah, but, you know, my workplace. Oh, you know, like my wife. Oh, you know, like my husband. That's good, but you don't know him. Oh, you know, like my school. Oh, look, I'll finish my 4-year uni and then maybe we can endeavor to that place. Oh, you know, like my car's not that good. Oh, you know, I've got to do the washing. Oh, you know, it's sheet week. I need to do my sheets. I want to encourage you. And you're like, that may sound silly, but we make excuses sometimes. And when I say that, I say it for this reason. You may have been feeling disenfranchised in the past. You may have felt let down by people in the past. You may have felt that your family could be better. All those things could be true, potentially true, 100% true. But it doesn't beat this. It doesn't beat the Word of God. It doesn't beat what he says he will do if you have faith, if you believe that he will take care of this for you and your family and your workplace and the clothes that you need to wash, whatever it is. He will make space and bring those things. He will accomplish those things and more. I want to encourage you, the mighty power to accomplish, the greatest request that you could ever have, those things he will achieve and more. Is there something else that I need to do to see this happen? Yes. Have faith, believe it, and step out and activate it. This is the activation season. Can I encourage you that looking at things and hoping that they change, looking at relationships and hoping they're restored, looking at family members and wishing that they could be better, looking at yourself and thinking maybe one day I'll achieve something, we're exiting that way of thinking. And we're stepping into the only way those things will see change. If I hear God's word, I believe it, I have faith, and I step out and activate it. That's when I begin. I need to prepare for things to change. I need to be active for things to change. I want to encourage you, the biggest, outrageous, out there dream that God has given you, his word says that not only will he accomplish it, but he'll outdo them all. For that to happen, what are you going to step up and into this year? What are you going to step up and into this decade? What are you going to start believing for? God may have sprinkled something on your heart 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 2 years ago, 5 minutes ago. What are you going to do to start stepping out to see those things begin to come to pass? Because even as you do that, he is going to shift the goalposts. You go, I've got this vision to see this happen. And you step out, and all of a sudden he's like, that was just a taste. What I actually have for you is this. And you get closer towards it, and he's like, it was just a taste. I wanted to see if you would follow through. This is what I've actually got for you. The dreams only get bigger. The outcomes and achievements that he has for you, our city, our church, it only gets bigger. When I say bigger, I'm not talking about something that we can put up on a pedestal and it's like, look what God did. No, no, I'm saying bigger things so bigger glory can be given to him. Amen? Do we have the next passage of scripture on the computer, 321? If we did, I want to read this because it puts it in perspective. I'm pretty sure I put it in just the normal scriptures. It'll come up in a second. This is what I need for us to stand on today. I need to stand on this. He promises to outdo them all. His word promises for you. This is not something where he's got like a little carrot on the end of a stick and he's like, and then like you're just about, no, this is promises, yes and amen promises to outdo them. And he also promises us that we will be miraculously energized by his power. 3:21 says this, "Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity." See, when we start believing for the greater things, when we start stepping out towards the greater things, when we start believing that my wildest dream, God actually wants to outdo my wildest God dream. It's probably encouraged that I preface that when God speaks about this, he's talking about his will, his call, God dreams. Not the car that you would prefer to have. Not the upgraded house that you would, not the new kitchen, not the 8-car garage to fit all the new cars that you're getting because of this scripture. No, let's treat the word as the solid truth of God. Amen. This is about, he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you in the church. He has a purpose for you that when you go outside of the church to be the church. And he wants to outdo every single one of those dreams that you've had. Amen. Why? So that all the glorious praise can be given to him. That it rise in this generation. Let it rise through the generations. Amen. Amen. God is a good God. I really wanted to share this next passage of scripture with us just to bring some nice stability to it, just so that each and every single one of us can grab hold of this passage of scripture as we step into this year and this decade. Isaiah 58, verse 8 and 9 says this. And this is God. "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything that you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And when you read this, you're like, oh, is God like exalting himself like just over everyone? Now, what he's saying is, I'm calling you to have my higher thoughts. I'm calling you to change. See, it says here in the first in verse 8, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts." He is calling us to get his thoughts in us. To get our thoughts that maybe we're sort of like, if I can just get out of bed in the morning, get to work for the week, sleep in on Saturday, and then have enough energy to get to church, I'm good. No, those thoughts are not his thoughts. He has so much more for each and every single one of us. Is it hard to get up in the morning? Yes, it's hard to get up in the morning, but I do realize that God has placed me within my workplace to be a beacon of hope and a beacon of light and to share the kingdom of God. Therefore, I'm excited to get up this morning, even though I'm still a little bit sleepy still. God, give me some strength right now. I know you've called me. I know you called me to this, but it's real. It's not this. It's not like I bound out of bed every morning and I run to the gym at 4:53, like some people in our church. I'm on my way. It's going to be a decade journey. Amen. Amen. No, our thoughts becoming his thoughts, our ways becoming his ways. It's the Great Commission. Jesus gave us his ways. Amen. See, in Isaiah 55, God communicates that his thoughts, they aren't like ours. They're beyond our imagination. So even our wildest imagination, still his thoughts are even beyond that. And that's why he wants to for each and every single one of us to never doubt God's mighty power. Never doubt what God can do. Grab your faith, as small as it may be, join it together with the body of believers, the church, turn it into big faith as we join our faith together, and watch what God will do through us in our workplaces, schools, unis, community outreach, whatever you're doing within your community. You might be part of the Lions, whatever you're doing, God wants to see you activate in that space. You're not just doing a good thing for the community. God has you there for a specific reason, to bring godly influence and love people with the love of God. Amen. And so we read that in Isaiah 55, yet in Ephesians 3:20, he promises that anything that we can come up with, anything that we could do to reach people, anything that we could do to reach people with the good news of Jesus, he will outdo it. And not only that, he'll energize you with his power as you commit to the mission of God. Oh, that's a pretty good promise. I think that's a pretty amazing promise. I don't know about you. So what are we believing for this year? There's a couple of things that we're believing for this year. The first one is this, that, and I want you to pray. I want you to have faith for this. I want you to join together and believe. You know, this morning, even in the prayer meeting, that there is a shift that's already begun. It's like Declaration Sunday. It's like God's like, I see what you're doing. I'm going to join you. This is awesome. We're believing that in our weekly services, by the end of this year, we're believing that we actually see 300 people actually joining as part of our church. Outrageous, right? Outrageous. But no, it's not. Never doubt God's mighty power. Never doubt that he's called us to be on commission. Never doubt that God has called us to go out into our community and share the good news of Jesus, and that people will respond to it. And I think potentially we're in this place in our society right now where it's like, don't talk about God, don't talk about Jesus, don't talk about Christianity, because you feel like you're going to get shut down by people who equate your faith in Jesus, your personal discipleship walk, to some of the other horrible things that have been happening throughout other church denominations. Let's be honest, all those things, they don't sit well with any of us, whether we're Christian or non-Christian. That is unspeakable, horrible things perpetrated against vulnerable people, both young and old. Amen. But people are still open to spirituality. Don't come with religion. Don't come with God said. Don't come with, you have to do this. Come with, I'm going to do my best to love you as well as God's loved me. Does that make sense? Just love people as they are. Create a space for them. Create a pathway for them to actually want to talk about who Jesus really is. Not who Facebook posts say that he is. Not who the news says that he is. Not through people misusing who they say he is. There's people on every side of politics right now using who they say Jesus is. And Jesus would be disgusted if he came in and saw this. No, Jesus would just come in and love people. Yeah. He doesn't hold people to account here on planet Earth. He wants us to love people here on planet Earth so that when they are held to account, they can actually say, one of your people shared the good news of Jesus and I became one of your people. Amen. That's moving me. Whew. One of the other things we're believing for this year is creating pathways for people. If you're in this church right now, I want to let you know that I want to create a pathway for you. I want to see a way for you to be part of what happens here on Sunday, but not just what happens here on Sunday. What happens out there in your week. I want to help you find new pathways so you're trained up and discipled here. And when you go out there, you're like, I'm stepping into my God-given pathway. We want to help you find it. There's some ways that we can help you with that. Firstly, people who are serving in areas of responsibility in our church, whether they're leading a department or a small group or whatever it may be, we are going to go out of our way to recognize giftings on your life. Giftings that you might not even know are there. We want to recognize your giftings and see them activate in the kingdom of God. Amen? The other thing that we're going to do is actually help direct people who have giftings and or maybe have potential giftings, but they're like, I can't do anything because I'm me. Other people can probably see the gifting on your life even before that you can. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually help direct you towards a place where you can be refined and begin to believe that God can use you. As you come out of that refining process, you're like, I'm never going to doubt God's mighty power. So what are the things that we've got to do? That we've got Growth Track and we've got Bible College and we've got Emotionally Healthy Spirituality and we've got Connect Groups and community leadership and discipleship and we've got a whole range of things. But one of the things you might need first is to sit down with one of the pastors. Just begin to have a chat. Maybe you haven't done that because you're like, you only talk to someone in responsibility when you're in trouble. So I'm not going to book an appointment because I don't want to find myself in trouble. Can I encourage you? We don't do it that way, like at all. I have a book of regulars right now who regularly book appointments to see me on a regular basis. And there's more than a couple of them sitting in the room like right now. Now, I want to encourage you that if you don't know this, on the computers out in the foyer, on if you go to gc.org.au/appointments or out there in the foyer or through our website, you link through to the actual hub page, you can book an appointment with me. You can see my calendar on Thursdays and Fridays, and you can even choose your own time that suits you better. Wow. It's also open on Friday nights. So that if you can't get in because you're working, you can choose the Friday night. We've got young kids here at youth, so I figure let's just make a space, amen. So I say that because don't let anything hold you back from stepping into everything that God's got for you. You might say, if you only knew the things that I'm struggling with that have happened in my life, you may not want to have a discussion with me. Can I encourage you? If you've had lots of other things happen in your life, I definitely want to catch up with you. I definitely want to create a space where you can begin to walk out of those things and into the Christ-like identity that he's already stamped on your life. But we just need to refine some things out of the way so that you can know it for yourself. Amen? God is good. If you have a gift, if you have a dream, know that God has a plan for you. We are joining you in declaring that this year that you will step into the pathways that are open and being created for you. Amen? The other thing that we're believing for this year is that new spaces are created for our week and weekends. I'm talking right now about tangible spaces, spaces that we can be in to see things happen. Some of the things I'm going to share with you right now may feel a little bit outrageous for you. Can I encourage you? Don't get freaked out. Don't be like, whoa, I don't know if I want to be in this conversation anymore. Lucky I'm talking, it's one way. Spaces. We need more spaces. By that I mean this. Going forward, we are going to need extra kids' spaces. We start to add families. Families have children. And children need a space for Sunday mornings for church as well. And so we are truly believing. You know, we've already activated some people in our church. Sam has been amazing blessing to us as a church, taking care of MP3. And he's done a whole lot of work on it to get it up to a point. But this Tuesday night, there's some guys and maybe a couple of girls who are going to come along and help clean out MP3, get everything out of there because it's at the next stage where we can have another space added for use during the week and on the weekends. But let's be honest, we add that space, it's only going to do us for a little while. Like when we talk about having another room for kids. And so we're also going to need extra fellowship space. Became quite aware last Friday that we need more fellowship space. We get a couple hundred people in the church and it's like, where does everyone go? We've got a foyer and then people start spreading into here. And so I just want to encourage you. It's never doubt God's mighty power to accomplish everything. Amen. Never doubt God's mighty power when I start saying these things. We're going to need extra auditorium space, extra community space, extra education space, extra professional spaces, extra education spaces. Can I say it again? Extra medical and health spaces. Hang on, where's he going? I'm talking about a 10-year declaration that we're talking about right now. There's things we're believing for this year, but I want to encourage you. These last things I'm saying, this is we are believing that in this decade, that God is going to outpour things that were completely and utterly outside of our purview, that he is just going to begin speaking as we take a step forward and a step forward. He's opening up new spaces, amen. We need spaces where we can care for people's health, spiritual health, physical health, emotional health, and their well-being. We need spaces where we can invite people in our community come onto our land to be part of things during the week. I'm believing for a massive basketball court setting. I'm believing for extra buildings. I'm believing that we can run after-school basketball and night program. And I want to get ahead of myself. Don't get freaked out, right? Don't get freaked out. Big dreams, outrageous dreams, according to his word. Why do I want to do those things? I want people in our community to know that this space is a place where they're welcome. And they might start by coming in through one of those things, but over time, this becomes their space as well. That's just one of the ways. The first way is we're going to go out into our spaces during the week and be great witnesses for Jesus, because that's another way that people come into church, amen? God is good. So for these things to happen, there needs to be some preparation. There's both people preparation and there's also financial preparation. And I just want to encourage you. I don't want to talk a lot about this, but I just want to encourage you that over this season, over this decade, that God is going to continue to refine us, that God is going to continue to speak to us personally. And as people, I just want to encourage you, you're part of the church. You're part of the body. You've already been made part of the mission. And I declare this morning on your behalf, amen, on your behalf, that you will come alive with fire and passion for the mission like never before. That you will start not only to dream and imagine, but actively join yourself to prepare to outwork God's heart, to reach and bring people into relationship in every space that God has called you into. We talk about financial preparation. I don't want you to get scared about that, because I truly, as I've been focusing on the scripture, I truly believe that God is actually going to bring people into our world as a church, that when they hear the vision, when they hear about how we want to change entire communities, not just over 1 year, not just over 2 years, but every year till eternity comes, amen, that we're going to be involved in communities and seeing communities turned completely around, that communities that people just look at and go, oh, that community? No. No. That is not the way that God has called us to see anyone in any of our communities in our city. God has called us to see people as he sees them. We value what he values. And if he values the restoration of every heart to him, then we value every heart. Amen. We talk about them as God sees them. We affirm people as God affirms people. Amen. God is a good God. I just want to encourage you. Belief underpinned by faith. We believe it, but it's our faith in God that he's going to bring it to pass. Amen. Just as the team comes to the front this morning, I know that I've almost gone to time, but I just want to make sure that we've got some space. And so this morning, I just want to share some brief things. We're talking two minutes. You know, I declare this morning that your pathways for mentoring, discipleship, and serving God are open. There is nothing standing between you in this church. There is nothing standing between you for mentoring, discipleship, and serving God. It is open wide to you. Amen. We declare that the raising and releasing of people in their callings is God's best, and we're committed to it. It's God's best for you, and we're committed to it as a church. We declare this morning that you will not be slowed down, but you'll be fully active and healthy in every aspect and every area of your life, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. I want to encourage you that, you know, over the past couple of weeks, that the pastors, teams, board, eldership, we've been meeting together, just believing and beginning to pray for what God is doing in our midst. You know, we as pastors and teams and eldership and oversight, we are proactively believing that you'll be raised and released in every area of your life. It's our heart for you. It's God's heart for you. So this morning, let's say it like it is. We declare that you are raised and released. We declare that the open pathways, that there are dreams that can be dreamed and they'll be accomplished in His name. That they'll be achieved and exceeded in Jesus' powerful name. Let me read this passage of Scripture again, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Just as the team begins to sing, you can sing along, or you can just believe that God's speaking to you right now. Amen.